Good morning. I'm Lydia Aranda. It's very nice to be here again on a sunny Monday morning here in Tucson, Arizona with Rainmakers. It is March 24th. We are in yet another Monday of Women's History Month, of wonderful spring weather coming our way. It was cold a little bit, and now it's starting to get those high temperatures again.
Right.
How are you doing?
You don't like the weather
now?
Here, wait 20 minutes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I'm so excited to be here this morning and talk a little bit about wellness today in many different ways. I just got back from Southern California, where I attended FEM 2025, which is the third in a row. It's called a confab, which in my view means conference fabulous, and also a retreat for women leadership, for wellness, workforce, small business, corporate leaders, and a little bit of policy as well. It was fabulous.
Whereabouts were you?
Southern California in Rancho Palos Verdes wonderful and glorious Terranea Resort. And thanks very much to corporate sponsors NBC Universal, AARP, and Wells Fargo. It was wonderful to be one of the community leaders there. And the theme this year, or the tagline, I should say, was celebrate, illuminate, and elevate. And it really was all of those things. But it started off the first day with a lot of activities about wellness and mindfulness, kind of to reset everybody's head so that we would listen well, absorb information. It was really great to do that and not be in that really quick, brain shift that happens when you first get off the plane and you go into a workshop and all those kinds of things. Instead, it was just a nice, comfortable way to kind of get focus so that we could really hear each other, ask great questions, and get all settled in for two fabulous days of learning and action and networking.
Sounds wonderful, Lydia. I mean, and gives you some good ideas to come back to Tucson with and kind of reset yourself, huh?
It sure was. And it's an annual conference put on by Sarah and David Chavez, who own a wonderful publishing and I want to say event productions company, among other things. It's called Ingenuity. And this was their brainchild together with Yvette Benya, who's a national leader at AARP out of DC, and a couple other folks who really were talking about 4 years ago, and they launched it in 2023. And it's happened every spring, either at the end of February or sometime in March, as in conjunction with Women's History Month. But not only for that, it's really also about spring, so that people can have these great new seeds planted, have some ideas blossom, and hopefully grow their business or their career in many different ways. And also had a lot of seasoned, I'll say, very seasoned and experienced corporate leaders coming out of, like I said, AARP, so talking about aging well and aging in place and kind of the challenges that come with that for different families. We had Wells Fargo, and they talked not only about financial literacy at all stages of personal or business life, but really also how to start preparing for transitions at many different work points. So it was really a great experience. And we're going to continue that conversation about wellness as we welcome our first guest who's here with us this morning. It was a little bit of a long introduction there, but I so wanted to share that background. We're so excited to have Jesus Bernal with us this morning. He has MueveFlex, the founder and lead wellness builder at MueveFlex. Jesus, it's so great to have you here.
And well, my goodness, I'm very flattered, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you, Lydia. Wow. and you know what's so interesting? I kind of have to interject a little note here.
Sure.
During a couple of events, pardon me, it's particularly the one where we have the Minority Small Business Alliance of Southern Arizona yearly awards.
Sure, okay? Happened this last November.
Right. Two people told me, they said, because when they heard you speaking on the microphone, they said, wow, that lady, you know, sounds powerful yet caring. And right now it just hit me. It's perfect for radio because I hear you as you're talking and you sound so caring, so kind. but yet very knowledgeable and articulate. So that's so cool.
Oh,
I think
gosh,
that's awesome.
Thank you.
I love it. I love it.
Well, I appreciate that. And I love what we're doing. I love when we are able to give voice to perhaps those who don't have a voice, or we're able to bring up topics that people might be hesitant to bring up and have a real conversation about it. And that's what Rainmakers, this Monday show on the morning show, is all about. And I'm so excited to have you here with us. Our listeners are probably wondering, who is Jesus Bernal? And I'd love to have you tell us a little bit about your background. I know a bit about your background, and I've had the pleasure of knowing you for a couple of years now, and even being a client of yours over at the Mueveflex Stretch Clinic and Wellness Center. But I wonder, before I go into what I know, including that it's been awarded the Arizona Daily Star Reader's Choice Best Stretch Clinic and Wellness Center for 2023. And a top three finalists for that, and then you ended up winning that. I know that you are an avid cyclist. I know that you enjoy outdoor activities like hiking and camping with your family, and I know so many more things about you. But rather than me talk, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into, first of all, the space of wellness, and what triggered a little bit of Mueveflex? We'll do a few minutes about that.
Love that, love that. And you know, to kind of go back to what you said earlier, you know, I love that Rainmakers today is covering wellness, because unfortunately, wellness is something that often gets neglected. You know, unless you're hurting, you feel you don't have to do anything about your health, for the most part. And so wellness has taken on sort of a life of its own, in the sense of people being more aware of self-care, mindfulness, and things like meditation have taken, you know, a front row seat in the healthcare field. Mm-hmm. And to go into how I got into the wellness field, it started really late in high school, early college. I was just taking my general courses, and one of my friends had a sister who was a chiropractor, and their mother was in town, and the chiropractor daughter was out of town, and they said, hey, look, you know what, can you do some things to our mom, you know, just like rub her feet or something like that. And I've always been very comfortable with helping people and whatnot, so I said, well, look, I have no clue what that's about, I don't know, but sure, if you tell me what to do, I'll do it. And so over the phone, she said, okay, look, you know, hold her heel and stretch a little bit and put pressure where her big toe is and blah, 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 blah. And so after about 10 minutes holding the phone on my shoulder in my ear and doing these things to this lady, she said she felt great. The sisters were super grateful, and they said, oh my gosh, you have got to be a chiropractor. And at that point, my dad was a radio announcer on, I think, either Radio Que Tal or Pantera. I'm not sure, one of the Spanish radio stations. And there was a chiropractor there, Dr. George Camacho, and he would do a radio talk show there. And so I would hear him, and this was, sadly, but honestly, the only Mexican that I would see wearing really nice clothes, really nice ostrich boots, driving around a really nice suburban truck or something.
Wow.
So I asked him, I said, hey, what is this chiropractic thing about? I have some friends that told me a little bit about it too. And he just kind of, he gave me the whole spiel. He said, oh, well, let me tell you, this is how you help people and you heal people. And, you know, maybe you have it in you to be a healer. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, this and this just happened. So long story made short, Dr. Camacho, one of my best mentors, a great influence in my life. I went into that line of work by investigating, researching, did the MedStart program at the U of A, and did not really fit well with the medical idea. I always tell a story about how we were doing rounds at UMC back then, what's mm-hmm. now Banner, and there was somebody that had just had heart surgery, and the wife had brought in a bucket of chicken.
Oh,
and right after surgery. And I asked, I said, hey, wait a minute, isn't this why he ended up here with the heart surgery in the first place?
Oh, by the
way. Yeah, and one of the doctors said, oh, they do it all the time. He'll be back in a few years. And I thought to myself, wow, this is not, you know, it's not, it didn't resonate with me. Whereas, as I started researching more in terms of chiropractic, I started applying. By this time, I had graduated from high school, started applying to some colleges. And one of the colleges that I applied to was Parker University in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And they have what's called the love concept. And they said, I love you for me because I want to be kind and loving, regardless of what you do. And again, that resonated with me very well. You know, I ended up getting my bachelor's in human anatomy, my doctorate in chiropractic, and practiced chiropractic for about 20 years. And that was wonderful. It was awesome. I loved helping so many people. The business end of it was always a challenge for me, insurances and things like that. And so when through different challenges and COVID and closures and different you know, lessons that were very painful for me at a certain point in time, in terms of learning business practices.
Sure.
I had to transition. I had to take an early retirement from chiropractic, but still people calling me all the time. Hey, Dr. Bernal, you know, my back hurts. Dr. Bernal, can you really help my shoulder? And I would send them to other chiropractors and I would say, hey, look, you know what? I'm not practicing right now, but you know, you can give this a shot or whatever. And it just wouldn't stop. So then I said, well, what can I do? How can I do this? Again, I researched. I ran across this new trend in healthcare, which is assisted stretch therapy, which is very similar to chiropractic. It's almost the same exact thing, except it's a, instead of a sudden jolt to put things back where they belong, it's a gradual movement where you stretch muscles and mobilize. You add mobility and add space to the joints. And people feel much better. So I researched more and more. I took some additional courses, got certified as a stretch therapist, took some more classes, and here I am. I started Mueve Flex, and it's been a wonderful, it was intentionally a side gig, a little bit of
kind of a side hustle.
Yeah, it was
and now it's your main hustle.
And now it's my main hustle. Yeah, it's been wonderful. I mean, I love it. I think certain people are born to heal. I have big old hands, and I think that any time that I'm not using my hands to help people, I get this feeling that God's looking down on me and saying, I gave you all those skills,
all those tools and skills,
all those tools, and yet you're not helping my people down there. And so I'm like, oh shoot, I gotta get back to work. So I love doing what I do.
That is such a wonderful story, and you have now enticed, I'm sure, not just me and the folks in the studio, but all our listeners. We're going to talk a little bit more about how then you get into Mueve Flex and what you're doing lately right after our commercial break. You're listening to Rainmakers. And we're back. This is Lydia Aranda on Monday, March 24th. You are listening to Rainmakers, and we're so excited. By the way, Matt, love that those outgoing, move it, and now coming back in with Elvis Costello and Pump It Up. All of that makes such great sense, not only on a regular Monday morning, but on this glorious Monday morning. It is so nice outside. I hope we do not hit that heat record. it's just a little too early in the year to be doing that, but if we do, you know, it could be worse. But we have with us Jesus Bernal of Mueve Flex in the studio. And even in our first segment, we were talking a little bit about his journey, what excited him back in high school about learning, about being a healer in many ways, studying medicine, studying chiropractic, and being out there and serving in that vein, in that industry, if you will. But what really struck me, and I know that you tell me always to call you Bernal, so I'm going to say what struck me, Bernal, is that you were paying attention, as many people do, but it seemed like you were very honed in on the kind of things that were also resonating with your own psyche, your own spirituality, your own philosophy, your own approach to life. And when you were seeing other practices, perhaps in just Western medicine, or maybe just in local community, or the behavior of patients and clients, if you will, that there was something else you saw there that you wanted to be able to impart or at least share and inform your clients. And that has always really struck me whenever we've had conversation, whenever I've observed you, whether it's talking to me as your client or talking to other people who are potential clients, you really seem to kind of cut through it all and really kind of go into what their being is, what their challenges are, and you see it as a two-way street. Am I getting that correct?
You're spot on. And again, I think you and I, we click so well together because we have a lot in common. And one of the things that I do in training, I've trained physicians before, and one of the things that I always tell them is that the four T-I-O-N's determine your four chin. In other words, T-I-O-N sounds like chin.
Mm-hmm.
So your four chins determine your four chin. And I tell them, number one, your intention. You have to have a good intent. What are you trying to do? Do you really care? And one of the goals with MueveFlex, our stretch clinic and wellness center, is to eventually make it a stretch therapist training facility. We want to make sure we train people. That's one of the big, you know, hairy, audacious goals, but
we gotta have those. What are they called?
BHAGs.
Big, hairy, audacious goals.
Yeah. And so, in training these people, I tell them first and foremost, before anything else, your intention. What's your intention? Next, you have to pay attention. Okay, you have to pay attention. And so, once you're paying attention, you have to not just hear what the person is telling you, but look at them. What is their body language telling you? Mm-hmm. And then after that, you have to use your intuition.
Yes.
Listen to what they're not telling you. Listen to what you cannot see. What does your heart, your gut tell you? Is this person maybe going through a stressful time? I'll give you a quick scenario of what happened recently at our office. I had this lady would do her stretch therapy. She would feel great, walk out of there with a huge smile, but then just a couple of days later would come back saying, yeah, I feel terrible, and my back, my neck, blah, blah, blah. And so then I told her, I said, hey, look, you know what? It might be too personal. You don't have to mention it if you don't want to, but let's talk a little bit. And she said, well, my daughter is addicted to heroin. And literally, I have had to take her. She would take her because she was going through withdrawals, and she would go and drive her to a place to buy drugs. And so can you imagine the stress?
Oh, sure.
And I was able to help her. I have some resources. And so I told her, let's see if we can get your daughter here in different places. Her daughter went to rehab. So once she handled that, now she's, one of our wellness clients that comes in once a month. But had I not been paying attention with my intuition, then I would have never caught that. And the last T-I-O-N of the four T-I-O-Ns of four chins that determine your fortune is action.
Action.
You have to take action. How are you going to help this person? And that's, one of the things that has made it for me so that I pay, number one, attention based on my intention, then use my intuition and take action.
I love it. I really love that because it's so important really to have, to know what your formula is. And that's not only your approach of the four shuns toward fortune. I love that. I had to write that down. Your approach as being a healer, as being a leader, as being a therapist, as being just someone who cares and takes care of others. But then you can, imparting that on others allows them to participate in their healing process, which I think anyone who really talks about a health journey talks about how we all have to own our health journey. It won't work if we just look to others, whether that's a pharmacist, a doctor, a therapist, or family members. We have to be a participant in our own healing and our own well-being. Yes,
yes, absolutely. And some people think, I want the doctor to cure me. The only thing a man has ever cured is a ham.
Yeah.
there's no such thing as, the doctor cured me. And I read this in a meme one time, and it said something like, if your doctor, you go to your doctor because of an ache or pain or an ailment, and he doesn't ask you about how are you eating, or this is what you should do for movement or exercise, or how's your lifestyle. If he doesn't ask you, he just gives you a prescription. He's not a doctor. He's a legal drug dealer.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It's just a transaction as opposed to getting into it. Yeah.
If that's the case, if they're legal drug dealers, then I'm a legal hope dealer. I like to give people hope. And that's, again, another one of the things that I train my practitioners that I'm working with right now. I tell them, you know what? Above all, give our clients hope. Never say, oh, yeah, sorry, we can't help you. You're stuck with this, which is what some doctors do. They say, oh, yeah, there's no cure. What? What do you mean there's no cure? You're not God. And so the thing is, speaking of God, I'd like to make sure that I interject this point because it's super important to me that I'm very forthcoming without completely incriminating myself. But I believe that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future, and I'm a sinner working on their future. So that's,
aren't we all?
Yeah, that's what I'm all about, and I like to make sure that people understand that, hey, look, you know what, always give people hope, even if you can't help them. Like what we say at our office, look, we may not be able to help you, but we're going to try to help you find somebody that can.
And that's such a, always just a better response. At the very basic level, it's more polite, it's more customer service when somebody does it instead of just says, there's no hope or
right.
There's no cure for you. And the oath that doctors take to first do no harm. Above all, do no harm. That also means, you know, don't kill people's potential. Don't kill their spirit in that kind of an answer. Now, it doesn't mean not being honest. It doesn't mean not being frank about whatever the situation may be. It might be very dire. But there are ways to coach people through that and to say, we may not be able to do anything here with what we do, but let's talk about some other ways to help you.
And let's help you find your help, yeah.
Well, and I think that has a lot to do with mindfulness. And when we come back after this upcoming commercial break, I'd love to talk a little bit more about what I've heard you say, knowing that so I'm a big philosopher of mindfulness, a student of mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that buzzword and what it really means in practice when we come back from this break. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Show, 10:30 The Voice. And we're back with Rainmakers. I'm Lydia Aranda, and we're speaking this morning on our Monday morning Rainmaker show with Dr. Jesus Bernal, founder of MueveFlex, a wonderful stretch clinic and wellness center. Dr. Bernal, welcome again. We were hearing from Funkadelic and One Nation Under a Groove, because everything that we're talking about this morning with wellness is a beat. It is a rhythm. It is a connection to getting into regular attention to our wellness, paying attention to the rhythm and the beat of how we are moving, perhaps, or not moving, and trying to fix that.
Absolutely. You're hitting all the right spots. That's exactly right. And let me tell you, Mr. Neely, if I ever had a party, I would want him to be my DJ.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah, great music, but it's true. Number one, dancing is good for not just your soul, but for your physical health. It's super, super wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And mindfulness isn't just about sitting cross-legged and saying, om. It's about being present in your body. When we're aware of our body signals, what's stuck or what's moving too much, we address it before it becomes pain. Deep breathing, for example, and focused attention can reduce anxiety, which directly impacts muscle tension and overall well-being.
Of course.
There's so many studies that have been done about mindfulness now that it's undeniable. We have to be aware of our body, and we have to give it the love it deserves.
Absolutely. And things, like you said, don't happen automatically. And we should be reading ourselves, getting to know ourselves, because that's the only way that we're going to know if something's a little off. Somewhere in our gut, somewhere in our mind, we know when something is a little awry. But if we're so busy with all the other noise and we aren't taking time to just clear our mind, and I'll tell you, it's a hard thing to do. We all live in a very fast-paced world, even those of us who are not overly indulgent in contraptions and devices and social media and things like that. It's still a very fast-paced world, and we have to purposefully take ourselves out of that. I was speaking at the beginning of the show this morning about attending FEM, the Confab and Retreat for Women, and it is the third year in a row that I've taken time and I've been invited to be a part of that conference. And it is all about, it is called a retreat on purpose. And the first day of the event is always dedicated to resetting the mind, being starting to focus on wellness procedures for ourselves, or wellness practices, excuse me, not procedures, but processes and practices. And while that is a good thing to share with everybody and teach, it's also done so as to clear the mind so that we can be open to hearing perhaps the new lessons or the sharing that is going on in that setting. I think those kind of practices are very well placed in all lines of business, schools, small business, community organizations, institutions of learning, whatever it is, even big corporations, having an ability to have a space to just kind of have quiet time. And I think we used to hear about certain things and, oh, wasn't it so trendy that Google would make sure to have these pods where people could take a nap or whatever. That wasn't just something to be funky and cool. That was a real practice to try to not only stimulate perhaps creativity, but I think also prevent burnout. And I think we need to recognize that those practices can take place anywhere. You don't have to be a big expensive corporation that has pod chairs in the break room to be able to do that. We can find quiet place sitting in our car, you know, before driving away to whatever our next meeting is. We can take those couple minutes and do that, it seems to me. And that seems to be an approach that you're also looking to teach your clients, your staff, so that those practices can be amplified out into more patients, that you don't have to be there leading that. You teach people how to do that so that they will not only do that themselves, but then teach others. Tell me if that's a little bit, I think what I heard you say is that's a little bit about the workforce development that you're doing within your own center.
That's exactly it. And I love that you said workforce development, because that's one of the goals that I have. I actually applied, and I didn't make it this year, but there's an Arizona Workforce Development Academy. Yes. That I'm going to try again for next year. But it's definitely spot on, Lydia. Number one, if the body is giving you a headache, it's not that the body is broken or that it made a mistake. It's innate intelligence is telling you, hey, there's something wrong. Either you're dehydrated or you're too tense, or there's some toxin that's in excess present in your body. Something is going on.
Might even be an allergy. Sometimes we forget that allergies are more than just hay fever.
Right, right. And when I say toxin, I just mean something that's foreign to the body that the body's reacting to. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, because of our fast-paced lifestyles and our, you know, sort of, you know, focus on busyness and go here, go there, and get this done, get that done, we often lose track of what's happening. I literally have clients that say, oh my gosh, I've had this pain for 6 years or 8 years, and finally I feel like I took a big heavy backpack off my back. And so the thing is, they've learned to ignore that. Kind of like if we were hungry. If we skip a meal and, you know, it's already lunchtime, but you didn't have breakfast, and then you were so busy, you skip lunch again. By 3, 4 in the afternoon, you're not even hungry anymore. Why? Because your brain tells you, okay, fine. I'm sending you these, you know, hunger pangs, and I'm sending you this growling of your stomach. You're ignoring it. Fine. Let's focus on other things. And it ignores it. Just like anything else, if there's a certain smell, you'll get used to it. If there's a certain noise, you'll get used to it. Your body kind of tunes it out.
Sure.
And that's dangerous when it's your physical body. You mentioned, sometimes disconnecting because of our devices and everything. I participate in a dads and kids camping, trip that we take every fall and every spring. So we just had it this last weekend. And wonderful people like Dr. Dwayne Dyson, the pediatrician, Matt Skidmore of KMS Realty. These guys are awesome dads. We get together. There's no signal there. So Kids cannot be on devices, and we're forced to sit around a campfire and kind of reconnect, disconnect from social media and everything, and reconnect to human beings. And it's just such a wonderful time and such a reprieve for ourselves and for our minds, so that we can make sure that we focus on what really matters, which is us and people and our wellness. And again, I want to make a big, big point about the fact that wellness is kind of like so simple that we overlook it. It's kind of like the oil change on your car.
Yes.
Your car will still run if you don't do the oil change.
Yeah,
it'll still take
well.
You. It'll take you back and forth, but eventually it'll break down, and you'll say, "Why? What happened?" Something so simple. Maintenance on your car is not even a tenth as important as maintenance on your body. But
that's
the
right.
difference is that if your car breaks down, it'll say, "Nope, I'm stopping right here until you fix me." Your body won't.
No.
If there's something wrong, and let's say you can't lift up your shoulder or you lift up your arm, you use your other arm twice as much.
And
so,
then that causes other problems,
exactly.
and you start to be out of balance.
Exactly.
I wonder if we might be able to quickly, before we get into our next break, maybe talk one simple, well, it's not so simple because it's so important, and clearly it's not simple enough because a lot of us don't do this. But I believe you've told me over and over that it is simple to fix. Let's talk about everyday posture correction. Do you have a tip that people could start using today to fix their posture and get into a new practice of good posture if they've lost it?
Yes, yes. And something that everybody can implement right now, immediately. All you have to do is stop what you're doing, put your phone down, put your keyboard down, and take a deep, deep breath, hold it for a few seconds, and let it out. That in and of itself, because nobody can slouch and take a deep breath. I dare you. If you can slouch and take a deep breath, you win, you know? But the point is, once you stop and take a deep breath, our iPhones or our Apple Watches would remind us sometimes, to complete the circles or whatever, or take a deep breath. But you don't need an Apple Watch. You don't need a device.
No, you just need to do it on your own.
You need to do it. Now, for me, it's a little bit of an unfair advantage, because with clients all the time, I remind them, okay, we're going to do a breathing exercise, and this is how you do it. So guess what? All day, every day, I get
you
to do...
You get to do proper breathing, and
yes.
I've always watched you. You walk with good posture. You sit with good posture. You hold your arms at an appropriate length. Appropriate height when you're typing. You have your monitor at an appropriate type.
Thank you for
height.
Noticing yes, that.
Yes, so
yeah.
that your neck, and they tell us these things, they meaning all the tips and tricks and life hacks, you know, that we find on the internet or in our circle of friends. They say don't crick your neck, don't lean it back too far, don't raise your arms in a strange place, don't hold your phone
down
yeah. and hold it for so long because you're typing with your other hand. People forget that then the hand that's holding the phone is being strained, that arm and that shoulder and elbow. So it's lots of little things about balance that if we just take, take a beat and get into our groove, we're keeping that music theme and that dancing theme. But posture is important, just like hydration. In this desert climate of ours, we need to drink a lot of water, and hydration will fix a lot of the problems we have in our body, is what I've always been told.
Yeah, now just real quick, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about the hydration properly right now, but if you think about it, there's a little bit of a risk. There's people now with the huge Stanley cups and with the big, the gym buddies have the big gallons,
gallons
of water.
Gallons and gallons.
Be
and then they're
careful.
They're carrying
there
them around.
There can be such a thing as drinking too much water.
Yes, then your sodium gets out
correct,
of balance,
correct.
And that's equally problematic.
And I have a tip for that too, but we'll talk about that some other time. And I think the important thing to focus on right now, and I don't want to, I would be remiss if I don't mention this, with our kids. Okay, when they're on the device, tell them either lay on your back or lay on your stomach when you're on your device. That's it. Don't sit down with your phone or your iPad.
And have your shoulders hunched,
yes,
your arms wrong, your neck bent.
If you're on your stomach on your device, you're forced to be with good posture. You bring your head up. You
That's
can't have
true.
Your head on the floor. And if you're on your back, now if they fall asleep or if they slip, if this has happened to me, you'll drop it on your face or whatever, so be careful. But again, that'll remind you, hey, it's probably time to put
it's
the phone away.
It's time to put the phone away. That's such a good tip. Well, we're going to go to another commercial break, and we'll be back shortly. You're listening to Rainmakers, 1030 The Voice, The Morning Show. And we're back in studio live. This is Lydia Aranda with Rainmakers. Our guest this morning for our first hour is Dr. Jesus Bernal. And we are grooving to come on right at the train because we've been talking about all the things, all the different cars and connectors in this journey of wellness. But Dr. Bernal, thank you for being here this morning and welcome back from that last commercial break. We have been talking about the daily grind and the stress that can end up in our bodies as well as in our minds and how stretch therapy can really help that, not only in and of itself, but how that links to other practices that are good for us, learning about reading our body and being able to focus on sometimes the simplest things like our posture, which then trigger other well-being and wellness practices. Correct?
That's absolutely correct. And I think what I'm going to do now is I'm going to defend my my healthcare counterparts or colleagues in the Western medicine allopathic field. I'm going to defend them tremendously because I think there's a place for everyone. I think it is unfair of you, Lydia. It's super unfair for you to go to the emergency room and expect that emergency room nurse or emergency room doctor to tell you what vitamins you should take.
Right.
Or what the best exercise is for your sciatica.
Because that's
unfair. That's not their jam.
And that's triage right there. They
got to save your life. Make sure you're not bleeding to death. Make sure you don't have something that, you know, where your life is in danger. And that's it. And then at the same time, it's kind of unfair if you go to Dr. Bernal's office, if you go to Mueveflex and you say, yeah, here's this fracture or here's this, you know, bleeding wound. Please stretch me. No.
we need to get you to the right place to
exactly.
Have that looked at, to have that diagnosed and then be able to blend all these things together. Well, I would imagine nutrition takes a big part in that. I don't imagine that. I know for a fact that nutrition plays a big role in how we live, how we are, how we focus or not, and how we are productive as a being to ourselves, not
big
only
time.
Just our work, but to our family and our community.
Big time. And I love seeing the eyes on my clients when they come in and they say something like, because I let them know, I say, hey, look, you know what? You can ask me about vitamins. You can ask me about which exercises, what position you should sleep in. You can ask me where you should put your computer. I'm here for you. That's the type of resource that I am.
Yes.
We have the time here. It's not a quick come in, let me just crack and pop your back like when I use a chiropractor and send you out. No, we have time. An average session at Mueveflex takes 15 to 25 minutes. And so during that time, you can ask me questions. We can talk about lifestyle, health, exercise, vitamins, nutritional supplements, different things that affect, maybe something that's stressing you out and you're wondering if that's something that should be addressed or maybe just kind of tough through it. Nonetheless, I think it's wonderful that you're mentioning nutrition because even things like muscle pain, mm-hmm. people don't realize, and we talked about drinking too much water earlier, but people don't realize if you're depleting your electrolytes or your minerals, your muscles don't have the ability to contract and relax. All they can do is contract. And when a muscle contracts and doesn't relax, that's called a spasm or a cramp.
And that is painful.
Yes. And so what I'm telling you is even something as simple as having the proper nutritional supplements like magnesium, omega-3s, or vitamin Ds,
mm-hmm.
That is enough to get rid of almost 60% of your pain. And people don't realize that.
But it also doesn't mean just randomly taking a bunch of vitamin D with nothing else or, you know, having someone who's knowledgeable and trained, a nutritionist, a stretch therapist, working together with you and your doctors and all that so that it's a whole team and a whole regimen can really be helpful. And there are lots of places to get that information, but particularly at Mueveflex.
Yes.
I'm going to jump in quickly with one more question before we end our session today, and that is something that I read in your bio and that I remember you speaking about when I first met you, and that is that in recent years, you were invited as an entrepreneur expert to a diplomatic and leadership conference that was held in Alaska. I have to imagine you've been to many things like that, but this one stuck out to me because we don't often think about when we're in the Southwest and we say, let's go to another community, we think about going to California or maybe even as far away as DC or New York. But in Alaska, I have to imagine that there are particular nutritional guidelines and parameters that happen, but at the same time, it's very, the nature and the wildlife and the clear air are there, but it's also really cold, or there might be other kinds of dilemmas. Tell me about what was going on in Alaska that took you there.
My gosh. Well, let me tell you. Number one, I have to give credit to Miss Genoveva Diaz, Jenny Diaz, this young lady, and she should be a guest on this show. I mean, I think she's a rainmaker herself. She got me involved with More Latino America and the Honoris Causa Foundation. And there's an initiative to make sure that Mexicans abroad are represented.
Ine.
And yes, absolutely.
Instituto de Mexicanos en el
extranjero.
Extranjeros. That's
yes.
Right.
And so there was a very sweet and moment where they brought in Liberty Bell and they placed it in Alaska, and we got a chance to meet with a lot of people. They provided scholarships for Mexicans in Alaska. I don't know if you realize this, but there's a lot of fisheries in Alaska, and Mexicans go up there and do the work as immigrant workers. So there's just a huge need, and you're absolutely right, because in Alaska, there's weather changes where sometimes it's really bright, never gets dark. Sometimes it's really dark. You never see the sunlight except for 4 hours. So there's going to be changes in vitamin D. There's going to be changes in the fat, you know, that you need to consume.
So it's a great place to be able to talk about wellness in a different way. We're going to have that be our ending thing, that we will continue with Dr. Bernal of Mueve Flex on Rainmakers. You're listening to The Morning Voice with Lydia Aranda. Good morning. I'm Lydia Aranda. We are here on The Rainmaker Show on Monday, March 24th for our second hour of the segment. And we are so excited today to have with us in studio Mignon Hollis, the Executive Director of the Arizona Regional Economic Development Foundation, what I fondly call AREDF. Mignon, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited.
It's great to have you here talking about the different things that go on all over Southern Arizona, our great state, the Southwest, our binational region, and you fit into all of those categories for sure with the role that you play in economic development. And even more than that, I consider you such a champion and a voice for rural communities. And that means rural communities anywhere.
Correct. Correct. I think I always laugh when people say, oh, we're talking about Southern Arizona. And I want to say, oh, you mean the greater Tucson area?
Yes.
Because really we're Southern down in Cochise County.
Yes. Very Southern, right on the border.
Right on the border.
And at the same time, different in every, Cochise County has so many different communities.
Absolutely.
In it. And when one is talking about Sierra Vista, it's a very different experience than talking about Naco or than talking about Huachuca City, even, that's
Douglas,
right there next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas has a different feel. And then get over to Wilcox, there's a little wine and some other things, you know, but it's a different feel.
It sure is. And so it never one day is a dull. You know, there's something new every morning, like
absolutely,
today.
Absolutely. There's some things about rabid foxes going on in Cochise County. We just heard Matt reporting about that. Because it is that blend of outlying, agricultural, sometimes industry that is burgeoning. Others are industries that have decreased a bit or declined.
That's our challenge in Cochise County.
Sure. And then yet, at the same time, healthcare is a big deal in Cochise County. Some communities have great access to it. I think Sierra Vista has pretty good access to the hospitals there and the attention there. Right next to the military base maybe gives a little bit of help there. But you'd go down the road a piece and then it's a healthcare desert.
Yep, exactly.
Or a food desert.
Right. And even in the Sierra Vista area, while we do have a great hospital there, there's not specialists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll have a specialist come in once a week. And I know just from my own personal experience with an allergist, right? They're only there on Wednesdays. And so you know my travel schedule. So I'm thinking, how am I ever going to make that work to only be able to go in on Wednesdays to have, you know, my allergy shots.
Sure.
So it's things like that really hamper rural areas, and Cochise County is no exception to that.
I think you give a great example there. We've seen some things happen even in the neighboring county to both Pima and Cochise, and that's Santa Cruz County, with hospitals shutting down off the I-19 a couple years ago.
Yes.
And even if So perhaps looking at it from a business case or a dollar, you know, dollar bottom line type of case, that might make sense on paper. But what happens to all of those families, particularly seniors, or maybe just folks that don't have enough resources or transportation options coming, let's say, coming out of Arivaca, even?
You know,
it's a long way from Arivaca just to get to the 19, much less than have to go down to Nogales or up to Tucson.
Yeah.
And so those kinds of things weigh heavily, and I have to believe figure into the AREDF's mentality. I know that your specialty at AREDF is really in serving different industries, but healthcare is an industry,
right.
It's a workforce career path, B, but also people who might be coming in for other industries, aerospace, other technologies, that might be a bigger focus for a day job. They still need the healthcare. They still need to have grocery stores to buy food.
Yeah,
so it's always
things.
In the mix.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing about economic development in a rural community, right? And I always tell people, you know, first they don't know what economic development is. And I say, oh, it's different every single day. But
yes.
Here in the Tucson area, you have Sun Corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always let people know, well, we're like the Sun Corridor or GPEC, but here's the big difference. While you all are talking about in the larger areas of medical tourism,
mm-hmm.
or you're talking about battery manufacturing, I'm trying, when I say those same things, I'm thinking about the very basics.
Yes.
So it's access to the healthcare. You know, we can't talk about medical tourism unless we even have providers in the area. And so that's a huge difference, that we spend a lot of time on the ground. And in many ways, I think doing economic development in rural areas, and I always tell people this, sorry, Sun Corridor, we have to be much more scrappier because we actually know exactly what happens day to day on the ground, not at that higher level where we're just looking at, and no slam to that because that's necessary
in a bigger
urban
area.
Right. But for us, we really have to take a look at what do the folks on the ground need today? What do they need to survive? When you look at transportation, the same thing, right?
Yep.
When we hear, you know, in Phoenix, oh, the rail system, the light rail is doing this, or the bus service is doing that, and I'm thinking, oh, we have just have cars,
right?
You know, what happens to
what
that
happens
family?
When the gas becomes the fuel becomes too expensive, or for those who have an electric vehicle, what happens when there aren't enough charging stations, or the charging stations are just too slow. So there's a backup.
But even beyond
so all
that,
those
what
kind
if you
of
have
things.
One car?
Right.
You're in a family, you have one car, and only one person can get to work. What happens to the other person at home? What happens to the children in the home? How do they get to school? How do they get groceries? How do they get anywhere? So you were right when you're talking about medical deserts, food deserts,
transportation deserts.
Right. It's completely different.
And another big topic, and I know you've been a champion on this one as well, not only locally, but nationally, digital connectivity is still a big challenge. We may... those of us who have connectivity sometimes forget, just like those of us who have
cars
or those of us who have degrees, we may forget that other people don't or are trying to get them, earn them, attain them. And digital connectivity is still a challenge, especially in our outlying areas that may have, you know, mountains or other kinds of impediments to connectivity or that are close to the border because there's limitation on where signals can go.
Yes. One of the things we had for the Arizona-Mexico Commission, we had, as you know,
which you serve on and are on the board,
when we had one of our roundtables down in the Douglas area, what was brought up that here I've lived there for so many years and did not realize we had someone from our emergency services there. And when he was talking about it, and it was from the Fry Fire District, they rely on the signals and on broadband to get to those remote areas.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when that signal doesn't come through? And I had never thought about that piece as they're moving into a very rural area, and then they use their devices to be able to connect to a hospital for care.
Right.
What
and
if they
to keep in communication as they're getting there, if there's a delay.
And then they can't. So they're finally with the patient. Let's see that they finally got there. But then they can't access the broadband and to get to the hospital to know what to do for this patient.
Right. And that's where radio is kind of the old school walkie-talkies.
Exactly. You know, yeah, common and backhand. Yeah.
They continue to be very important. And we don't always think about that because we think, oh, pshaw, that's an old technology.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's the technology that's going to work. So we need to have different kind of lo-fi or different kind of broadcast, different kind of radio signals. But all that, you know, takes attention and money.
Yeah, it does. And so when people even speak about, well, let's use Starlink, right? Let's use satellite. Do you know the cost of that?
It's cost prohibitive.
So that's the other thing that we really focus on is accessibility and then affordability in every single industry that we're working with.
I'm so glad that you and the AREDF continue to look at, I mean, you and I have known each other for a very long time. Of course, we were quite young when we met and still are. But back in the SBDC days, when you were leading the Cochise Small Business Development Center out of Cochise College, and I was director of small business for the state of Arizona, we had a lot of opportunity. Actually, we were talking about all these things back then, but in a different lens.
Yes.
We were looking at not so much community development, but the role that small businesses play in communities, thriving community development. But it was the same issue.
It was still how do we get things to be
attainable, affordable, accessible, so that the businesses could thrive, but it really was part of the same formula.
Exactly. And I remember we did so many events together.
Sure.
But it was always about bringing the resources to our community. And you were always so wonderful about making sure that every quarter you were in our community helping us.
Trying to help amplify the voice. Well, kind of like what we're doing here on Rainmakers. That's exactly what this show is about. I'm so excited to have you here as a guest this morning because we can't say enough that the issues certainly are tackled or that we can just snap our fingers and say it's all done. No, we have to keep going at it decade after decade and bring whatever the latest approaches are. So I think we've both been fortunate in our ongoing roles, in the roles that we also serve in governance on other organizations. I have a whole list of the kind of organizations you support outside of your day job at AREDF.
And we've actually changed. We now just go by AREDF.
AREDF, okay.
Are you so happy about that? It's much easier.
I am. It's fun. It's a fun connection there. But you know what? We're going to take a little break here in just a moment. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about those other organizations, how they all come together. And again, I can't be any more excited that you are here with us this morning. Mignon Hall is from AREDF on Rainmakers. I'm Lydia Aranda, and you're listening to The Morning Voice. Good morning. Welcome back. This is Lydia Aranda. We are on Rainmaker, Monday, March 24th, as part of The Morning Voice show. So excited to be here this morning in our second hour segment with Mignon Hollis, the executive director of AREDF, formerly known as AREDF, but AREDF, the Arizona Regional Economic Development. And you wear multiple hats. We were talking about in our first segment, Mignon, that among them, not only as leader, certainly a leader with voice and influence, a lot of background in small business success, having been a former director of the SBDC or Small Business Development Center for Cochise County, and so many other hats, particularly in governance of other organizations. You're on the board of the Arizona-Mexico Commission.
Yes, I am.
And I love that you're bringing that southeast corner voice to that commission. In past, we've often had a lot of voices from some of the bigger cities and just a couple of the border towns, but there are a lot of those communities in between that aren't quite on the border, aren't quite in the big cities, or the bigger counties, and you have always been such an advocate of that. And I'm going to say, I think it's because you were born and raised in Tombstone.
I was. I'm a Tombstone Yellow Jacket alumni.
Woo!
So, yeah.
Go Yellow Jackets.
But, you know, as we said earlier, that made us scrappy, right? Because you're from a small town, you have very limited resources. And in order to get anything done, you've got to go outside of your community to get those resources and bring them back. And so that's why I'm on so many different things, because I want to be able to bring those resources back to the community.
And you can't do it if you don't ask, and you can't ask if you're not at the table to do so.
Exactly, exactly. And you mentioned the Arizona-Mexico Commission, and Governor Hobbs has done such an amazing job with that. I know there was a lot of criticism, you know, because it was pretty much dismantled, and then she rebuilt it. Well, there's a reason for all of that. Absolutely. And so as we're rebuilding, one of her first directives to us is outside of Maricopa County.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Arizona-Mexico Commission for the whole state. And so the very first time we could, we had our first meeting and tour in Douglas, Arizona.
That's
first ever.
I remember that.
Yeah. And it just, it's so amazing. And since then, we've been to Yuma. And then later this month, I think actually this week, we're going to Nogales.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
It's great to be able, because again, we were talking about personalities of communities vary across the spectrum, just like personalities of big cities do.
Yes.
And in order to figure out what the community needs, you really have to be listening to community. And sometimes you can't do that unless you're right there, front and center. Some communities are tired of sharing what they need or raising their hands from afar. They want people to take the time and effort to come see them. And I think that goes for even our corporate leaders, our industry leaders, elected officials from other communities can often learn a lot by visiting their counterparts and different parts of the state. And that's something that I see all of you doing, not only in the Mexico Commission, but I think in the State Bar and in some of the other organizations,
the
Aerospace Arizona, the Appellate Court
Commission.
We just
met last week and submitted names to the governor on Thursday, I believe. I think it was Thursday.
That's interesting. Tell me a little bit about that commission.
So I haven't gone through my Senate confirmation hearing yet, but you know, there have been several positions already that needed to be filled. So I had no idea the amount of work that goes into that, though.
Wow.
Yeah, we have to do due diligence on all of the candidates that come up. And
that's to serve as an appellate
court judge.
Yes.
Or the Supreme Court judge for Arizona, yes. And so it is a lot of work, though, all that due diligence, calling people, I think, the first round through.
And you on the commission actually
calls.
Do that work, yes?
Yes, okay. We do that all that work.
Wow.
So I make 45 reference calls. It's a lot, but it's a lot of fun, too.
I bet. Well, and I think those kinds of activities and experiences really help inform what goes on in processes. And you are a great conduit to be able to not only know it yourself as a leader, but you impart that onto your staff with your other board members of the organizations, but also your board that you report to.
Right.
You can come and be informative to them and maybe even host
exactly.
collaborative sessions with other nonprofits or other business groups or other leaders. And I've always really liked that about you. You bring different voices to the table, and you also try to be that different voice,
that
bipartisan or nonpartisan or all partisan voice that's so important these days to help build solution in community.
It really does. It comes down to, though, when you talk about politics, for me, it's never anything about that. It's the issues. Like you said, it's about broadband. It's about access to healthcare. It's about jobs for our community.
Mm-hmm.
It's about roads. And those shouldn't be tied to partisan parties,
well,
right?
Because everybody needs safe roads.
Right.
Everybody needs quality education. Everybody wants to have career paths that are sustainable and enjoyable and of interest to our skill and matching with our own skill sets. And I venture to say, we're all moving in the same direction. We're all aging. So we need to have some opportunities to have resources to perhaps age in place or to give us help as we help our relatives or friends who are aging as well.
Yeah.
Those are all things that everybody needs.
Let's not talk about aging. We're not aging, Lydia.
Of course.
Everybody else might be, but we're not.
We're keeping our spirits spry.
Exactly.
And agile. That's the scrappy part.
Yes, it is. Back to the scrappy part.
It's hanging in there.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you, though, about the Arizona-Mexico Commission when the commissioners came down to Douglas. For many of the commissioners, it was the first time being on a border.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting to me.
And they were apprehensive, of course, because, you know, you hear all the rhetoric.
Yes.
You hear how dangerous it is.
Oh,
and
goodness sakes.
In Douglas, and you've been to Douglas many times.
Sure.
And so it was surprising to hear them the next morning say, I've never felt so safe. We stayed at the Gadsden Hotel.
Visited with a ghost that come into the rooms.
Yeah, no one had the ghost experience. But, you know, to hear my fellow commissioners say how safe they felt. And I said, yes, much safer.
It's a very safe community.
Much safer than in downtown Phoenix.
That's right.
You know, quiet. but it was interesting.
The sky at night.
Yeah, and it was interesting for them to hear. They had no idea the number of students that crossed the border to come to school. 2,000 yes. children every day are crossing that border. And again, for them to be at the port and to see the students cross through and that they're just coming for education.
Yeah, and then they go home at night.
And you can read that, but it's seeing it up close and personal is quite different than just hearing it.
Well, and I think when people can actually see how communities, you know, it's not just the students coming, but what it's indicative of are the communities on both sides of that, you know, line that we've drawn. And I understand that we have to have borders, but that doesn't mean we have to cut them off. That's a whole different topic. But when people can see the synergies that happen in communities the same way that they might look at a large metropolitan area and see synergies, particularly in the outlying communities of that larger metropolitan area, they can see folks in Vail or Sahuarita engaging with Benson and Fort Huachuca and Tierra Vista. You know, they can see those things happening. So when we see it on a binational level, it helps dispel that things are so terribly problematic, and it just shows that we really do have a dependence on each other, like all businesses and customers do.
Right.
And that's really what it is.
One of my fellow commissioners, we were watching the children come through. He looks at me and he says, I can't even get my son out of bed in the morning to catch the bus. And here's these children lined up at 6 a.m. to cross the border. And we're not, you know, we're talking about elementary school to mm-hmm. high school. Mm-hmm. And he says that reality to see that they're taking advantage of
education
yes. in general, and that these are children that want to learn and are so dedicated to their education and to coming to school when his child can't even get out of bed to catch a school bus. These kids are walking.
To be driven. Yes.
Right. And to see that, he says, I'm going back and I'm telling my son all about this.
Wonderful. Well, it is very enlightening. And I think when we hear about those same things that happen in Nogales, for uh-huh. ambos Nogales, you know, Nogales, Sonora and Arizona.
Right.
And in Yuma and San Luis.
Yes.
And seeing that happen. I know that you all had an experience going to Yuma, not only seeing students come across, but then you all were up extra, extra early to really understand what happens in the agricultural world with all type of workers who are up at the crack of dawn. And, you know, we see that in the construction industry and lots of other industries as well. But over in Yuma, it's pretty prevalent and awesome to see what goes on in the system of agricultural workers.
Right. And not to be political then again, but if you think if we did not have that workforce coming from Mexico across to work in agriculture, what that does to our
industry.
Agriculture. Yes. And even if you don't see that.
Yuma is the salad bowl, certainly during this time of year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then think how that will hit you at the grocery store then, right?
Yes.
If we don't have the workers, right, at that, it's that whole supply chain.
It's very much a domino effect. If we touch one piece there, it's going to have not only the, it could topple, but it also reminds me a little bit of Jenga. I think when we're in economic development and we're in
that's such a good analogy.
Yeah,
we're in a
state like Arizona that really is bordered by other states as well as another country. We see so much happening here, and you move one piece, you better do it delicately. And when you replace it, hopefully the whole thing won't topple over.
Those unintended consequences.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we return. Let's go to another commercial break. This is Lydia Aranda on Rainmakers. We've been speaking with Mignon Hollis. Please join us after this next commercial. Welcome back. Hi, this year we are back at Rainmakers listening to some Chuck Mangione. Love his music. And We are in our second hour segment of Rainmakers with our guest, Mignon Hollis. Mignon, welcome back. Thanks again for being here this morning.
I love being here.
We've been talking about economic development and rural communities and how the two come together, and also all the different facets about being a voice for those who are the unvoiced, or being of service to those who are under or unserved. And that's something we have common in our careers.
Yes.
But I love that you also instill that in so many others, including some of your staff and your board members of ARED. Tell us how, for anyone who's a little bit unfamiliar, even after this, about ARED, tell us a little bit about its mission, the staff, and some of the activities that you do.
I'd love to. So it's an economic development organization, and really it's to improve the economic vitality of our community.
And your community being southeastern Arizona,
Cochise County.
Cochise County.
Depending on some of the industry sectors, it's more statewide, like you mentioned, Aerospace Arizona. But at the crux of what we are doing now, and our mission has changed slightly from where it's been, is really working with the entrepreneurs, which is, you know, what I love best from
Absolutely.
My SBDC days. So we have, most recently, we had a building that Teleperformance was renting from us. And, you know, during COVID, they moved out. Then we had a school in there for a little bit.
And that was a pretty big building. I remember touring it with you.
Remember that 44,000 square foot building?
Yes,
so we
large.
Are now moving into our own building there, and we're calling it the Community Innovation Center.
Wonderful. And that would be moving the admin offices that you had more in the center of town,
right,
in a smaller plaza.
Yes.
But equally, it was charming. It was accessible. You had other nonprofits in there. I remember Dan Valle from the local Hispanic Chamber and some other folks were in there.
Yeah.
So now that whole operation is going to the big building?
Well, we have a couple buildings in town, but we were renting one anyway. Long story, we're filling that building up. Portion of it will be an event center, which
nice.
You know Cochise County has not had.
Right.
So we have several conferences already scheduled in there, which for once we can actually host conferences in Cochise County, which we've not been able to do before.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And so then the other is we have 18 offices then that we can lease out to entrepreneurs.
Fantastic. And those can be entrepreneurs that might be sole proprietors, or
right.
they might be a satellite office of
yes.
an affiliate that might be headquartered in Tucson or Flagstaff or even another state.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so then they have space inside our offices. So we're very excited to move in there. We're really focusing on the innovation side of that.
Nice.
As you had mentioned, building out the digital economy. We've mm-hmm. gotten several grants around that. And just working to bring that broadband accessibility to our businesses and showing them how, because you've remember this, you helped us work on a campaign.
Yes.
So we're really bringing that to fruition now and letting people know that everyone's tech.
And everyone is.
Everyone is tech, and they don't think about it. So we had the conversations with artists about, well, are you selling some of your artwork online? Are you advertising that online? Yes. Well, then you're in the digital economy. You are in tech.
And people forget about that.
They
forget
do.
That food and culinary is tech with some of the devices, the tools, the
yes.
utensils, the cookware,
yep.
As well as, like you said, promotions for pretty much
everybody is
digital.
Tech.
Yes.
And so letting everyone know your tech, it breaks down that barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
And because when you say to people, do you want tech? And they're like, well, I don't want to be a coder. Or I don't want to, you know.
Or you might think it's kind of cool once you've tried to help participate
right.
in building your own website or
right.
your own landing page. Or
but when they realize what tech really is, and they're like, oh, yeah, I am a techie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the first things that we did is make sure inside this facility that we have the broadband that we need.
And
so
first things first,
that is really hard. So we've gotten that set up, and we're having people start to move in, and everyone's really excited because they can have bigger and better space. And you know this from our conversations earlier during COVID, because of the spaces that we had, not one of our tenants, not one of our clients or family, as we call them, had to shut down their business, because we made sure that we provide all those wraparound services that they need. You know, how are you getting your PPP loans. Mm-hmm. How are you getting, how are you marketing your business? How have you shifted your business model so that you can
help him with the promotion of that out to others? I think that's one of the keys, is being able to amplify what the entrepreneur is going through or needing or succeeding at. You know, it doesn't always have to be about the challenge. It can be about, what are you doing that's working?
Yes.
Let's tell others about that as well.
Yeah, and learning from each other, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of the point of the Morning Voice show, these weekday mornings that we have here. And certainly that's part of the point of Rainmakers, is how are we all doing what we do to help make it rain, not only for ourselves, but for others and our communities, and really what's going to be the sustaining legacies that carry our communities forward generations after generation. Tech absolutely is one of them.
Yes.
I'm excited to know about the event center, wearing one of my other hats. As you know, I'm involved with the Minority and Small Business Alliance of Southern Arizona. We've talked about that. And that nonprofit serves all of Southern Arizona, all 7 counties of Southern Arizona, and is meant always, as its mission is, to be and serve as a resource of information, of opportunities, of training. And we also, now that we've got 30 years under our belt, we want the next 30 years to very much be about collaborative opportunity. So I look forward to all of us talking.
Yes, I want to host you down and have
MSBA coming together to make sure that we're touching more entrepreneurs and also attract those who aren't in the local area to come on down and see what it's all about.
Yeah, and that's always fun too, to have people come down and say, we had no idea you have this here. And you know,
and the great restaurant.
Beautiful.
It is.
I mean, it's lovely.
There are different kinds of tourism that go on there.
And it's cooler.
It's affordable. And it has all the perks. You know, there are hotels and restaurants and community college and all kinds of great things, and not very far off the freeway. So that makes it very accessible as well. And airports are all around you.
Yes.
Let's see if we can count them. There's Benson, Sierra Vista.
There's Wilcox.
Bisbee has an airport. It's been going through some things with Ms. Bonaducci having some strategies about that, I think.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about that. And Douglas. So that's an awful lot, just in all within an hour to 90 minutes. And that's, you know, besides the other airports over in Santa Cruz County and up in Pima.
Yeah. So we have, you know, as you mentioned, Aerospace Arizona. And that really came about during the time when the FAA was seeking 6 test sites. And mostly those test sites had to do with uncrewed systems, right? Your drones, if you will.
Sure.
And because in the rural communities, you're outside of prying eyes, it is the best place to test. And the weather in Arizona in itself is amazing. But then you move out to Benson and the chatter is quite small. And so if you look at a flight map, you'll see this one tiny little dot. And that little dot in Southern Arizona is where the Benson Airport is. And that is an area where there's not any traffic.
Wow.
And there's not any noise.
And so it's a great place.
It's a great place. So we've had Honeywell and Boeing and Northrop Grumman doing testing out there. You know, and so it's funny because the first couple times they'll come out, they're like, it's so quiet. And then by the end of the week, they'll hear one thing, a cow in the distance or the train. And all of a sudden it's become, you know, super noisy, and you laugh how quickly, you know,
you get used to the quiet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love that you share that's exactly what happens. It might be a train because the trains are regularly going through all the communities. But if you time around that, but every now and again, a cow.
But the beauty of that is, but if you have a device that falls out of the sky or something happens, mm-hmm. and you lost it, the only thing that can hurt is a cow.
Right. Right.
And the ranchers around the area have
Understand.
All been amazing. They're like, no, please, we love this technology. It really helps, you know, it helps the ranchers.
Right. And those falling from the sky are few and far between.
We have not had one accident
Wonderful.
Out there, so we're fine.
See,
we have not killed a cow. We're very happy about that.
Those are the kind of records we need to make sure
the
people
FAA likes those kind of records, you know, where there hasn't been a fatality. So that's a huge opportunity in rural areas. And it's low cost, because most of the companies that come out, they already have everything they need. They just need the sky.
And I love it. Well, we've got plenty of sky in our wide open spaces, to quote another song. And I like that that dispels some of the myths about maybe what can happen between tech and aerospace in rural communities. And also that particular rural community is somewhat close to a military base. And sometimes there's a misnomer that nothing can happen if a military base is nearby. And that's not true. You just have to be conscientious about the distance and about what's going on. And so again, it's ripe for opportunity.
Yeah, the funny thing about that is when we were doing our due diligence and working with Fort Huachuca on setting up our test site out there, they said, well, the truth is we can shoot down one of your drones before you can hurt anything that we have in the sky.
Yeah, they said we're not worried.
Yeah, it's just one of those things to remember that you're thinking that you're interfering. And they're like, well, actually, we outpower you.
Yeah, we've got a process for that.
Yeah,
we know how to handle that. I think it's just very interesting anytime we can share more information about fact and opportunity, because those are the careers that people can look to go into that maybe they haven't thought of. And a lot of those are indeed small businesses. So
what are back into our SBDC Arizona Commerce Days, right?
Yes.
80% of America strives on small businesses.
So. And we need to keep helping them help themselves. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take another quick break. You've been listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice, 1030 The Voice, KVOI, trusted local news and talk. I'm Lydia Aranda, and we'll come back with Mignon Hollis. And we're back. This is Lydia Aranda with Rainmakers. Our guest in this segment has been Mignon Hollis, the executive director of AREN. We've been talking economic development in rural communities and all that that entails. And with some of our other conversations that we've had with other guests, Mignon, I've been talking with a lot of them. This comes up kind of organically in the conversations, and that is mindfulness. Often that comes up when we're speaking about wellness, and that might be physical wellness or mental wellness. But you and I both coming from such an entrepreneur resource background, business wellness is very, very important.
Business
and
wellness.
Whether it's through the small business development centers, whether it's through SCORE and some of the coaching that people get so they can write their business plan and understand how to navigate potential resources, whether it's through bankers who are financing small business, I think you and I would agree, and I'd love to hear more about what ARAD's approach is to helping business owners have a well business.
Yes. So important, right? Remember, we used to always say they're so busy working in their business that they're not working on their business.
Yes.
And to take that step back and see what does the business actually need. So that's part of what we're doing in our spaces over at the CIC, is making sure that they have all the wraparound services that they need, that they're taking that time to really see how can they make their business thrive. What's working, what's not working. And you'll remember SBDC days again, where we would ask the owner, would you hire yourself for that position that you're doing right now?
And that's always an intriguing question. And isn't it true that it would make people pause a moment and reflect?
Yeah.
And we all need that. We all need to think about whether we'd hire ourselves for what we're trying to attain. And it makes us ask the question, well, what is it that I'm trying to do next?
Right.
Where am I trying to go? And some business owners will say, well, I'm not trying to go anywhere new. That doesn't mean you're still not trying to get there.
Right. Because
it may
anything
be that same
new,
place.
Right? Anything new. And if you're fine where you are, how are you going to sustain for how long?
Mm-hmm.
Are you, when your time is up with your business, do you want to sell it? Are you happy just to see it go?
Exactly.
Right? What's the exit strategy? And people don't like to talk about the exit strategy.
Because they feel that it's the end of something that they're building. But it's true that at some point in time, they're either going to win the lottery and not want to do that anymore and hand it off to someone else. They might have, you know, a health issue or another family issue or friend issue or community issue. Can all of us remember pandemic? Nobody expected that. So we have to think about, like you said, what's our exit or pause strategy when something unanticipated happens? That's part of wellness.
It absolutely is. And people don't think about that, right? And so when they come and they talk to me about their business, sometimes they get mad about what I might say. And my thing is, look, I'm looking out for the business, not for you right now. in this conversation, I represent the business's health. It is not healthy for the business for you to go on vacation right now. It is not healthy for you to, you know, whatever it might be, and they take
to be behind on perhaps whatever it is you're behind on, bills, payroll,
rent,
or to hire another person that you, because you think another contract's coming through. Make sure that contract is coming through before you really execute.
Right,
you
don't spend the money on that contract if it hasn't come through.
Yes, don't spend what you don't have. Yeah. Spend what you earn, not what you have.
Right.
It's so true. Some of these things, and they go hand in hand with well-being. And part of, I think, the benefit of having that kind of even uncomfortable talk is that you help those entrepreneurs get over the anxiety of having the talk.
Right.
In other words, difficult conversations are still necessary, whether they are about our own well-being, our own financial situation, maybe our own relationships, but we have to think of that as an entrepreneur. You have relationships with your business and your colleagues and your fellow businesses too.
Yeah, or should your business just be the hobby?
Yes, and there's nothing wrong with that. It can be side hustles that stay as a side fun.
Right, and are you doing that for fun? Because as soon as you turn it into a business, it's not going to be as relaxing and as much fun as it was when it was just your hobby.
That's right. You know, people who are very good at hosting parties, at cooking or catering for events even up to 40 or 50 people, or they may be great at creating cards with a device or a Cricut or something like that. While there indeed may be a market for selling those items or those services, I remember hearing from many people saying, but I love cooking for people I love. I don't want to do it for customers that, I don't want it to be a business.
Right. Or it might even not be feasible, right? Profitable if they did it on a greater scale.
Right.
So it's really taking a look at not only the wellness of yourself and your business, but of your community and that whole ecosystem.
Sure. And that's the truth, that there are ecosystems in economy as well as there are ecosystems in digital and all of that. So keeping that balance, sometimes you need a coach or you need someone else looking in to have that conversation. And it allows then the entrepreneur to make a good decision. And succession planning is really important. And it's probably what is least attended to.
It really is. It really is. They come down to the end. They're like, why can't I sell my business? Well, because there's nothing to sell, right?
Like the business really might be just you doing that thing, and it's, again, more of a hobby. Or it may be such a specialty that you need help in selling it so that others can go pick it up. And I know that that's something that I'm going to guess is faced by folks who have bed and breakfasts, who have restaurants, who have clubs, who have something that has been very much the personality of the business owner themselves.
Yes.
So it isn't going to be just a transactional sell. It's going to be very dedicated, very specialized, and you need some experts around you. So I think ARED can help people, not only you all maybe being a little bit of that expert, but might help folks find those experts.
And to connect that, absolutely.
So again, accessibility, affordability, attainability, it's all part of it. Well, it's been a pleasure having you this morning, Mignon Hollis from ARED and from all the other organizations. Thank you for the work that you do on a daily basis, being a great voice for rural community and inviting people to come to Southern Arizona and to see what Cochise County is all about and how it fits in to this wonderful region with Pima, Santa Cruz, Yuma, and the others. It's been a pleasure having you this morning on Rainmakers.
Thank you so much, Lydia.
Look forward to our next conversation.
Same here.